Chapter 7, The Ark is Coming. Objectives. Upon completion of this chapter, you will be able to write the key verse from memory, explain why the glory of God departs from his people, summarize events and their spiritual significance when the Ark was at each of the following locations: Ebenezer, Aphek, Ashdod, Gath, Ekron, Beth Shemesh, Kirjath Jearim, Jerusalem. Identify four things necessary for the return of God's glory. Key verse, 1 Chronicles 15:28. Thus all Israel brought up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord with shouting, and with the sound of cornet, and with trumpets, and with cymbals, making a noise with psalteries and harps. Introduction. God told Moses, "If you make the tabernacle according to the pattern, my glory will dwell there." Exodus 25:9. Man was originally created for the glory of God. We were created in his image and set over the works of his hands to bring glory to him. Hebrews 2:7. When man sinned, the pattern was changed and the glory was lost. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Like the tabernacle of Moses, you are the tabernacle of God. If you build your spiritual life according to the proper pattern, the glory will dwell there. If you change the pattern, the glory departs. Romans 1:21-23. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to be corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beast, and creeping things. Psalm 106:20. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. Through the judgment of God, some will repent and the glory will be restored. Revelation 11:13. And that same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. And the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. Some will never repent and regain the glory. Revelation 16:9. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. The sinner is without glory. It is restored through the redemption process. Romans 8:28-30. Whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. The glory also departs from God's people when sin separates them from his presence. What can be done when the glory of God has departed because a pattern has been changed by sin? The Old Testament study of the Ark of God departing and returning to Israel provides natural parallels of a great spiritual truth that answers this question. The departure and return of the Ark. The Ark of God symbolized the glory of God in the midst of his people. The Ark preceded Israel as they traveled through the wilderness. It led the way as they crossed the Jordan River into Canaan. It went before them in battle as a symbol of God's presence. In 1 Samuel chapters 4 through 7, there is a sad story about how this Ark, the symbol of God's presence among his people, was lost. Read these chapters in your Bible before proceeding with the remainder of this lesson. Shiloh to Ebenezer. 1 Samuel 4 opens with the nation of Israel battling the Philistines. Israel is camped at a place called Ebenezer, and the Philistine army has pitched their tents in Aphek. Israel was losing the battle because of sin in their midst, especially in their leadership. See 1 Samuel chapter 3. When they lost 4,000 men in battle, they began to ask, "Why has the Lord smitten us?" Instead of seeking the Lord and searching their hearts to reveal the true problem, the Israeli army decided to take the ark, the symbol of God's presence, and send it before them in battle. In previous battle, at God's command, the ark had preceded Israel's army into battle, but it was only the symbol of God's presence. Because of sin, the presence of God was not with his people in this battle, so the symbol of his presence was meaningless. After the first phase of conquest at Canaan, the tabernacle had been set up at a place called Shiloh. Israel sent to Shiloh and brought the ark to Ebenezer. When the ark came into the camp, Israel gave a great shout of joy because they were sure that now they would be able to win the battle with the Philistines. But the symbol without the actual presence of God was meaningless. When the battle resumed, 30,000 Israeli soldiers were killed, and the Philistines seized the Ark of God. Even the sons of Eli, the priest, were killed. When a messenger came to tell Eli the news, he was so shocked that he fell off his chair, broke his neck, and died. His pregnant daughter-in-law immediately went into labor and gave birth to a son. She named the child Ichabod, which means the glory of God is departed. 1 Samuel 4:22, and she said, the glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. The symbol of God's presence was now in the hands of the enemy, and Israel was defeated in battle. When we lose God's presence, we are also rendered ineffective in battle. In many places today, the church is settled for symbols of the presence of God. We have symbols of crosses and doves, Holy Communion dishes, candles, and great church buildings. We may even have the emotions of shouting and praising God as did Israel when the ark came into the camp. But is the presence of God truly with us, or have we settled for symbols and rituals? Whenever we settle for symbol, ritual, and tradition, the presence of God withdraws. The glory of God is lost to the enemy. Have you settled for ritual instead of the reality of God's presence? Ebenezer to Aphek. When the Philistines seized the Ark of God, they took it first to a place called Aphek, which means strength and fortress. This is one area that Israel never was able to take from the Canaanites when they conquered Canaan. 1 Samuel 4:1 and 1 Samuel 29:1 records that it eventually became a base from which to launch attacks against Israel. In Aphek, the Philistines actually raped the symbol of God's presence by defiling and plundering it. Any area of your life left unconquered becomes a stronghold and fortress of Satan. It will be used by the enemy to launch attacks against you, and you will lose the glory of God. Satan will take that which is precious and rape it by defiling, violating, and plundering. Ritual, Ebenezer, always leads to rape, Aphek. Aphek to Ashdod. In 1 Samuel 5, the Bible records that the Philistines next moved the ark to a place called Ashdod. Ashdod was one of the five chief cities of the Philistines and the location of one of the most famous temples of the natural god Dagon. At Ashdod, the Philistines tried to set up the ark with other idols, but their gods kept falling on their faces and finally were broken in pieces. When you have lost the glory of God through ritual and been spiritually raped by the enemy, your next move is to try to rationalize your position by compromise. Like the Philistines, you do this by trying to set up the glory of God along with your worldly idols in your life. These may be actual physical idols of stone or clay, or they may be idols of possessions or worldly attitudes and behavior. You try to see just how much of the world you can hold on to and still have the glory of God in your life. But all other idols must fall before the glory of God. When the Philistines recognized God's power, they were frightened and sent the ark on to the city of Gath. Ashdod to Gath. The name Gath means winepress. Whenever you compromise and allow the enemy to establish strongholds in your life, both Aphek and Ashdod mean stronghold, you will soon find yourself in his winepress. He will squeeze, press and push you until everything good is drained out of your life. At Gath, God sent judgment on the Philistines in their secret parts, private body organs. It was there that the repercussions of the lost glory began to be manifested and the judgment of God began to fall. God will not settle for spiritual ritual. He will not allow his presence to be raped in our lives and churches. He will not long tolerate rationalizing by compromise without sending the repercussions of his judgment. Gath to Ekron. Ekron means eradication, which means death. Deadly destruction came upon this city as judgment from God. The eradication of spiritual death is not far behind the repercussions of God's judgment. If we do not heed God's message, we soon become like the church at Sardis, with the name that we live, yet we are dead. See Revelation 3:1. Ekron to Beth Shemesh. It was at Ekron that the Ark of God changed directions and began its long and slow return to Israel. But the symbol of God's presence would not immediately return to God's people. It would take over 20 years to arrive in Jerusalem. After the eradications by death at Ekron, the Philistines decided that they had better send the ark back where it belonged. See 1 Samuel 6. They built a cart, placed the ark on it, and used two milk cows to pull the load. These two cows had calves shut up at home. Their natural instinct when they left their own resources would have been to head toward their young ones. Instead, the cows headed straight for Israel. Even dumb animals know the glory belongs to God's people and not in the hands of the enemy. The cows and their precious cargo arrived first at a place called Beth Shemesh, where some people of Israel were reaping their harvest. When they saw the ark, they began to rejoice. They took the cart and cows and offered them as an offering to the Lord. But the men of Beth Shemesh refused to realize that God does not send his presence just to bless us. Holiness must be at the heart of any move of God. These men wanted God's presence among them, but they did not want it God's way. They looked into the ark, which had been forbidden by God. Over 50,000 people died because of their sin. See Exodus 19:21. Many times we rejoice when the presence of God begins to move in our midst, and we claim we want revival, yet we refuse to walk in holiness. We want the presence of God, but we refuse to abide by the law of God. Because of this, God's presence moves on. Beth Shemesh to Kirjath Jearim. Because the people of Beth Shemesh refused God's standards, the ark was sent on to Kirjath Jearim, where it remained for 20 years. 1 Samuel 7:2. And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Although the ark itself was in the midst of the people at Kirjath-Jearim, they rejected its power. They had the symbol of the presence of their God in their midst, yet they and all Israel lamented after the Lord. This means they longed for his power, hungering and thirsting for his presence. Jerusalem was void of the presence of God, while the Ark of God was only 8 miles away. For years, the Ark was shifted from city to city with little or no regard, respect, or understanding of its significance. It carried with it the potential of the almighty power of God, but nobody understood, nobody cared, and no one paid much attention to it. Is this a description of your spiritual condition? Are you bound in the ritual of religion and raped of the presence of God? Have you rationalized your worldly position, felt the repercussions of God's judgment, and even the eradication of spiritual death upon your life? Then there is good news for you. The Ark of God, His glory, and His presence is near. It is only a short distance away. All God is waiting for is a man or woman with enough longing for his presence that they will lead the way in the restoration of God's power. Kirjath-Jearim to Jerusalem. There came a day when the Lord found a man after his own heart, who would not rest until the ark of God's glory was fully restored to his people. That man was David. David longed to bring the ark of God back to the people of God. He asked, "How shall I bring the ark of God home to me?" 1 Chronicles 13:12. Many are asking the same question today. How shall we enter into this restoration of God's presence, this new move of the Spirit for which we long? You will learn more about this in the next lesson on restoring the tabernacle of David. But for now, let us learn how David brought the ark from Kirjath-Jearim to Zion, restoring the glory of God's people. First read 1 Chronicles 13, 1-7 in your Bible. This passage records David's first attempt to bring the ark back to God's people. Because the Philistines had carried the ark on a cart, he thought Israel might move it in a similar way. The ark was placed on a cart pulled by an oxen. When the oxen stumbled, Uzziah reached up and touched the ark to steady it and was stricken dead. As believers, we are to walk by God's word, not by example or experience. God requires a higher standard of his servants than unbelievers. Judgment fell because the ark was not moved in the way God had commanded. David recalls this experience in 1 Chronicles 15:1-24. He said the first attempt to bring back the glory was not after the due order. If the glory is to return, it must return God's way. The process of return. Read about David's successful attempt to return the ark in 1 Chronicles 13-17. Four things were necessary for the ark of God's glory to return to his people. These things are also necessary if we are to experience a return of his glory today. 1. Desire. For some 20 years, all Israel longed after a more intimate relationship with the Lord. They had the desire for his glory. The first step in the process of return is to have a desire for the glory of God. But desire in itself is not enough. You can want something very much, but in order to get it, you must also have 2. Determination. David was determined to bring back the ark. He said, "Let us bring again the ark of our God to us," in 1 Chronicles 13:3. Not only must you desire the glory of God, you must determine in your own heart that you will not stop until you receive it. Even failure did not stop David. When he was unsuccessful on his first attempt, he tried again. 3. Direction. David and his men began to move in the direction of the ark to bring it back. Desire is not enough. Even determination is not enough. You must begin to move in the direction of the presence of God if the glory is to be regained. You will not experience the glory if you are heading the opposite direction in the way of the world. You will not experience it if you are running from God in disobedience to his calling on your life. You must go God's direction if the glory is to be manifested. 4. Due order. On the first attempt to return the ark, the oxen stumbled and the cart toppled. The glory could not return on a man-made ark. It had to return according to God's plan, according to due order. We have tried to bring the glory of God in our midst through our man-made carts. We have our programs and rituals and speak of unity and brotherhood. Interestingly enough, the names of two men who carried the ark mean strength, Uzzah, and brotherly, Ahio. Our man-made carts may look sweet and brotherly, but they are really the strength of men. The end result of man-made carts is stumbling, slipping, sliding, and finally death. We cannot, by our own plans, programs, or strength, bring the power to Zion. It must come God's way on the basis of his word. David later confessed in 1 Chronicles 15:13, "The Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order." When the due order of God was followed, the glory returned. You will learn more about this due order in the next lesson on restoring the tabernacle of David. The fire, the glory, and worship. The fire and the glory are both important mobilizing spiritual forces. Without the fire, the glory will soon fade. Without the fire and glory, we will be rendered immobile in the face of the enemy. At the beginning of this study on the fire and the glory, you learned that both fire and glory are related to worship. See 2 Chronicles 7, 1-3. The next three lessons relate these three mobilizing forces together as you study restoring the tabernacle of David, wanted worshipers, and how to worship.